Hi there. This is extremely precious, very special. Perhaps everything that I've done so far in my life may have led me to this very moment. A very special conversation with a very special man. The man, the myth, the legend. Everyone's hero, my hero, A.R. Rahman. Thank you so much for joining in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
For a person like you who's been taking a flight every other day for every other city, every other country, every other continent, 2020 would have been tough, eh?
Yes and no. You know, I think the pressure of traveling, all the stuff is good, but when the whole world is resting and the whole world is concerned about humanity and, you know, our friends and family and other people, underprivileged people, so I don't think it's a priority to think about luxuries. But also spending time with my kids, my family, and more close with my close musicians, you know, that's also been really good.
Fair point. So what's the first thing that you're raring to do once things normalize?
I'm sitting at my studio and this has been my everything, right? For the past 28 years now, you know, actually what, 31 years, 89. And so there's nothing has changed. It's just that I would go anywhere I want. Like I want to go to the US, I just take a flight and go. And I want to go to Dubai or, you know, Europe or London, I would go. And sometimes, you know, for me, things are claustrophobic. I just need a new place to think. But then that's fine. Sometimes you need time not to think anything, just give mind a rest so that it settles down and look inward more.
Interestingly, you've been appointed as the India ambassador for BAFTA Breakthrough. And I call it interesting because that's the one word that completely summarizes you, pushing boundaries, not only geographically, musically. We were speaking about the continuum, instrument-wise. And even as a person, you were a shy, reticent person, and now you're this big voice in global music. So were your discography to be eligible for that breakthrough nomination, what, according to you, would be the three albums that you would send as entries?
Bombay Dreams, actually, is a whole breakthrough for me. That is a big breakthrough, having Andrew Lloyd Webber as your mentor, who never, you know, produces other people's music, because for the first time he took another composer and for another culture. So we have to give it to him. Other things I've done, you know, like starting the school, starting this orchestra, and then and also going into story film storytelling and virtual reality and sensory stuff. Like sometimes it's good to be in music and also do something else and come back to music so that your passion and interest and the fire is still burning. Some people lose it after 10 years. Some people lose it after 20 years. For me, it's been part of three generations. Now my grandfather, my father, me, and now my kids trying to take music. And one thing we have to realize, I tell my kids, is don't get intimidated. I was so bad when I was a kid. I was pushed in it and I was just like a dummy sitting on a keyboard because my father's friends would give me a job. So because this person doesn't have a father, so you just play a couple of notes and like use some money. You know, that's how I entered. But then you realize how important it is. And that's one thing I taught them. Even though they laugh at me, it's like, no way. They don't believe me. But I said, this is truth. I was even worse than you guys when you started. So just don't stop. That's the thing. That's the magic. Don't stop and keep digging and then you go.
Don't stop. And 31 years and counting, like you said, you haven't stopped. In fact, it's as fresh as day one for you, AR. So the next question, obvious question is there a process to this magic? Is there a method?
I think for a creative person, you have to do the same things, but then you have to do it differently. Like Hollywood says, I want to hear something completely different, which I know also before. And say something which I know, but completely differently. So that's the whole idea. And if you look at small things change how we feel, even though we take it for granted. You know, an instrumental player can change. The inversions which he plays can change. A rhythm player can change stuff. The way you program and land into happy accidents where you don't intend something and something else plays. But you should be open to embrace it.
You know, everyone romanticizes this zone, this process where music comes by. But we all know that, you know, for creative people, inspiration can come any time. Has there been an extremely unlikely place where you got a groove, you got a chord, you got a tune that came in? Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, mostly on the flights. You're having these long flights and then everybody's sleeping and you're in your chamber and your doors are locked. And then suddenly something comes and you don't know how to put it, because you just take your phone and on your vocal recorder and you start singing, and then, are everything okay here? Yeah, everything's fine. Sometimes you get the groove, you get the feel while traveling. It's a beautiful feeling. I think you're on top of the world, so looking at the clouds or ice pack snow, and suddenly something comes up.
And completely imagine that. There were a lot of serious losses that the world faced as well. You yourself had to face a few personal losses. How does A.R. Rahman tackle grief?
This is a tough part. I think you have to realize that we're all going to go. That's a good part. You feel at peace when you think that this life is short and your misery will end very soon. So that's an inevitable fact which we have to keep reminding of ourselves, ourselves. And that actually is a good thought to nullify negative emotions of anger or jealousy or you know, like spite or, you know, revenge, and all these things can go away if you think that life is short, man. Just move on, do your thing, let them do their thing, it's fine. And everybody's gonna go, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. Every foundation of spirituality actually starts with this, because when you're praying or when you're in, you want to be, your mind should have undivided attention. How would you get that attention? Because if you have a thousand other things, oh, I have to give this tune here. You know, this my family thing is happening here. My friend's thing is happening here. I have to give that to Anand Rai or Imtiaz Ali or, you know, Danny Boyle. And I have to pay the taxes or I have this mortgage. But then there's one thought of your mind, which nullifies everything, is the reality of that we all have to go one day.
Wow, no wonder. All your songs, you know, the devotional songs, the spiritual songs, all of them sound so otherworldly. You know, beneath all the spiritual, serious, otherworldly things that you talk about, I am sure there is this little mischievous boy who has a lot of sense of humor which lurks inside you. Because what else would, explain songs like Hamma Hamma, Mustafa Mustafa, or Patti Rap for that matter, or Rockstar? My favorite song in Rockstar is Sheher. Can you tell me, how do you do these songs?
I think we all have inbuilt humor. We have humor, and humor is something, and comic or comedian, they actually enrich our lives. You know, they make things much more easier to handle. And so music is also like that. You know, when you're jamming with people, you start a particular phrase and then you just go into a wrong note intentionally. Mm-hmm. Make it right by repeating it. So this happens not only just in the way songs are constructed, but even the notes. And yeah, we all have that. And musicians have quite a lot. I've seen most of the musicians humorous.
I would believe so. And to be very honest, talking about all these funny songs, Masakali was one of them. And to all your fans, the pandemic wasn't the only thing that hit them in March. Masakali 2.0 was also something that hurt them quite a bit, I must say. But, the other genre that you're extremely popular with, and I think for people my generation, the generation before me, and perhaps the generation after me, are patriotic songs. At this point in time, with everything that's happening in the world, how significant do you think is being an Indian?
The idea of being born here itself is enlightening, fascinating, and you are very grateful to the Creator that you live in a country with so many different cultures and philosophies and beauty and you know, dance forms and, you know, music forms, and still, you know, this magic has been glued for ages. And there were many adverse things happened, but we are still glued to the idea of India together. And so the idea of discovering your own self, you know, that comes from this country. It's aged more than 6,000 years. And I come from Tamil Nadu. I speak Tamil. And this culture, again, now dated 6,000 years. So we have a lot to offer. And so smaller things can't divide us. And the idea of people in the north coming and working here, or us going and working there, and the idea of creating something together, or creating a song for this magical country where these amazing people, we all stick together. That's the idea of India I know, I still believe in.
Wow, I will just say Jai Ho to that answer. You've heard a lot of music, you've composed a lot of music. How do you listen to music? When you hear music, what is it that you listen to? Does being a musician come in the way of being a regular music lover?
Yeah, I think the more you know, the more the things could hinder you as a listener. Mm-hmm. So if somebody knows how to produce, so they listen to my music. Oh, he's not used the best bass drum. He's used something which is, okay, I would have put this option. He's not used the best hi-hats. And he's not corrected this pitch. He just left it like that. So all this stuff comes in. But I, after a while, you just forget all that. And I said, what is the song collectively feeling? Mm-hmm. And is it, what is the emotion it gives to me? So I can relate to any song beyond the language. So I will listen to African music sometimes, you know, I listen to, you know, the Congress of American folk music, which is many things. Without judging, I feel like the spirit of what comes from inside is more important. And it's strange that we've not discovered, we've not even scratched the surface of artists in the world, because we've been thrusted upon the ones which are famous, which the companies want to, you know, force on that. But YouTube and, you know, Spotify and all these things have opened up a great deal of exposure to these smaller artists and sometimes cult artists. Like I discovered a American Indian woman called Alanis a couple of months back, and then just blew me away the way it's from another realm of thought, of saying something very, very crucial in a most beautiful way, where it does something to your, something which you've not discovered yourself, but it's awakened by the song. And so the world is full of surprises.
Absolutely, the world's full of surprises, and we hope that you keep discovering them and bringing all of them to us. How will things change? What are the key trends that you foresee in the production, consumption, distribution, and composition of Indian music or music in India over the next few years?
You know, I think 10 years back when I won the Grammys, I said, I hope this inspires the younger generation to discover themselves and probably come out with their own voice. You know, everybody's afraid of their own voice. And the first time they fail, but the failure actually would probably enhance your other approaches and then brings you to like what not to do. And that's what failure is for me always, you know. It nudges you to the better path and pushes you. So I feel like most of us, now you've seen even the pandemic, I saw famous artists collaborating with Indian artists, and without any expectations, the joy of interaction, all that is happening through Instagram and YouTube and then Zoom and all the stuff, which is a fantastic thing. And some of the teachers in the UK, I think some real world-class players are mentoring some of the students from my conservatory, and I didn't even know about that. You record with them and feel like, this is not the orchestra I know in India. They've completely gone to another level, and it's such a joy to work with younger people who are uncorrupted, who don't have any luggage, and they just play for the sake of music. They don't see timing, and of course, we should not exploit that. They don't see anything. You'd ask them to play without food, and then I just like have to remind you, do you guys have food? No, it's fine, sir. I'm not going. This is more interesting than food. And I said, wow. And this spirit is something which I never seen in film music, musicians. Some of them, not everybody. A lot of people are passionate. And sometimes, you know, so that actually pushes us to create more magic, and there more miracles could happen in the future with this kind of attitude where they're open and they are innocent in a way.
Wow, you know, you brought it back to the world being one family, and that brings back to the idea of India, Vasudeva Kutumbakam, that also comes in from Sanskrit. But, you know, the one thing that I wanted to know from you is that we're a business channel, we're a finance channel. For all the young aspiring musicians, how would you advise them to manage their finances, stand up for their rights?
I think, first of all, choosing music needs courage. And a person with courage and self-belief will only come to music. Otherwise, he's going to worry about, oh, what if I don't have? What if I don't have? What if I don't have food? What if I fail? It's a negative thought, first of all. That means you're not even believing. And jumping into the ocean where... So if you're not good, if you compare yourselves with what is out there, become better. Sometimes it takes... I kept saying this, like, sometimes it takes 2 months, sometimes it takes 2 years, sometimes it might take 20 years. And then anybody who goes deep in what they're doing will excel. And that will bring in people. That will bring in your money. That will bring in your fame, everything. So never give up. You can become a teacher. You can become a musician. You can become a producer. You can become the biggest songwriter. Because nobody can buy experience. Nobody can buy expertise. You know, it comes from hard work. Yeah.
You've spoken a great deal in the past about how your mother's changed your life. Her contribution has made you who you are. But rarely have we heard you speak about the change that Saira, your wife, and the kids have brought to you. The kids have grown up. They are producing their own music now. We see them. We enjoy them. So if you could talk a little about that.
Yeah, I think when I got married, I mean, it was Bombay. It was 95. I mean, things were going out of proportion, like, you know, from south to north and awards and Filmfare awards and all this stuff. I got married at the peak of, you know, there. And so that was actually a negative factor because we couldn't lead a simple life. We couldn't go out and we couldn't, everything was private, you know. Right. You can't sit anywhere because people will come.
Absolutely.
You can't go to a cafe. And so I think she got used to that. And she's been a pillar of support for me, and we are, you know, a mother and father of three children. So that is very spiritual, and having children is a very spiritual thing for me. It's not just having a child. So my whole idea of having children was different in the beginning, and now it's changed. I got inspired by many fathers and mothers, even though my mother is a big inspiration. Before it was like, oh, let's get the right tutors for them. They will teach them. And sometimes nothing happens like that. You know, they expect you to do that. And then you realize, like, I've done less as a father. Let me do a little more. And that's I think when they actually started blossoming. Like my son did this single on Dil Bechara and Never Say Goodbye. Then Khadija started singing again. And she did the Farishton song. And then Rahima's still into studying now. She thinks she will also come up, hopefully.
Interesting. I the song that I love the most about from your son is the first one, Maula Wa Saleem, yes. Was the one that came by. You know, AR, the final question before we let you go. What is it like being AR Rahman? And what are you excited about the future? What are you nervous about?
So the biggest... the most adventurous things I have done in the past 10 years is taking the movie. It's 99 songs, getting a person who's not a star kid, but somebody I just picked out, just looking at the picture, saying that Ihan, but who was, I never know. Like, I just thought, okay, this kid could be the next superstar because let's put him in. And he's done a great job. A new director called Vishvesh Krishnamurti.
Right.
And I'm a new writer. So that is the biggest, probably the most adventurous thing, gamble I've ever taken. Then more gambles, Le Musk, which is a sensory project.
Yep.
It's on VR, I've directed it. And it's completely in English, nothing to do with India, except me. And that's a bigger gamble. So I feel good about both of them because at this age or, you know, when you're in music and you've been celebrate and all the stuff, to do something else, learning something else actually frees you from fatigue and it gives you a better vision in music. You can come back to music, you feel you see music in a whole new different way, because now you're not just a musician, but you are a filmmaker, and you see in both perspectives, as a musician, composer perspective, as a director perspective, and an audience perspective. Like, and now there are new techniques for, look, if you take augmented reality or mixed reality, there is ambisonics, where it's much more spatial. Look at this, the new continuum.
Oh, may I see that? Wow.
It's thin.
How is this different from the previous one?
It's thinner and better built.
You want to make us listen to how it sounds? Is this possible?
No, it's not connected. It's still on beta. It takes a while to learn this one. It's a beast. Because it's like how you learn a violin.
Without the frets,
it's not easy to control the pitch. Correct. But it's polyphonic. So you can use like at least 6 fingers to play very, very interesting things.
Wow. Constantly learning, constantly pushing the boundaries, constantly seeking new horizons. A.R. Rahman, you've done that for 31 years. Wish you well for the next 31 years, probably 50 more years as well. But I'm going to take a chance with this. 2020 has been a not so good year for the world. A prayer for 2021. Would you hum a line?
Vellai pookal ulagam yengum malarave. Let the fragrance of white flowers, which means peace, metaphorically, bloom in the world.
Wonderful time, AR. Thank you so much for doing this for me.
Thank you.
Thank you, AR. So that was A.R. Rahman. Thank you for watching.